Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Joined in the studio with a Man City Show podcast. Tonight, the sole representative, well, he is the man, the myth, the legend. It is Nigel Rothman leading us forward in the next 60 minutes. Got Sam quite worried because it's going to mean one of two things, one or two things. Either Nigel's going to do a lot more talking or I am. So either way, lose-lose really for you listening at home. But it is me and Nigel to talk all about City. But you can have your say tonight. Believe you me, we're going to need it. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 0208 7020 558. A packed show, though. Brilliant City win on the weekend. Blistering win, tearing Fulham apart. They had no chance very early on with that red card. We're going to be talking about that. City success in the Cup. Then looking about City success in all of the domestic cups at the minute. Then David Walker will be joining us. He's a fan favourite on this show. He joins us once more at 9:30. So stay around for that. Then there are two games to look forward to. Obviously, the League Cup semi-final, the second leg against a team that Nigel doesn't like to mention, but it is the Manchester Derby. We'll be doing a preview of sorts of that, and then a big clash, Spurs on the weekend. Finally, Man City going back to Spurs after last year's European heartbreak in North London. Obviously, the 2-2 draw earlier on in the season at the Etihad. But we'll start with Fulham, and it was a blistering win. Fulham obviously getting the red card. But Nigel, good to see you, and good to see you, and you're on your own.
I'm on my own. I'm a bit nervous, you know, Charlie. I'm just not sure. You know, it's difficult for me. But we'll do our best, my friend.
We'll do our best. You should be nervous because.
But happy about the weekend, as you say. Because it could have been a banana skin. People were saying, you know, why was it the televised game? If Fulham had come and beaten us 1-0, you know, it would have been genius. Who thought of making that the TV game? But actually, it was all over, wasn't it? Really, after the 6 minute, really, it kind of you feel sorry for Fulham in a way, actually, because you won a bit of a contest. And what did they say? If it was a boxing match, you know, the ref would have stopped the fight. You know,
I don't think the ref was needed. It was a knockout in the first round, I think.
It really was. But good to get the result. And Fulham, yeah, really didn't really put much of a fight. I think they had one shot on target straight at Bravo, which even he was able to deal with quite comfortably. But some good points. Nice to see Foden and Garcia start. People have said, you know, he's not giving the kids a chance, but perfect opportunity. As we know, we've got Stretford on Wednesday, and Pep really wanted to, needed to rest a few players. Clearly, Laporte wasn't going to play, was he, after his exertions 5 months out and needed a rest. He looked a bit knackered coming off against Sheffield United. But having Garcia there starting, having Foden, who I don't think had his best game. A lot of expectations on the young lad's shoulders, of course. You know, he plays in a game like that, and everybody's looking at him, and it's a start. He's going to really dominate the game. But actually, it was the old master, Mr. Silver himself, who just gets better and better. And what a game he had! He's a magician. We call him the magician, and that's how he was at the weekend. And also nice to have a penalty taker sorted. We've struggled a bit there. We've had Sergio and we've had Sterling and Jesus all miss penalties. And I think Pep's kind of, you know, asked the lads themselves who wants to take him, really. I think he's given up telling them. So Ilkay Gundogan, perfect penalty.
Put it away
very, very nicely. And from then on, it was no contest. I thought actually that I've watched it back, of course, as I do record the game and watched it back. And in terms of Bernardo Silva's, the second goal, I don't think he looked up at the goal at all at any point, you know.
Now, it was a cracking goal.
Because, you know, he wasn't near goal. He had players around him. He kind of almost lost it first and sort of spun a couple of times. I genuinely don't think he looked up. I think he just hit that and knew exactly where the goal was and hit it perfectly. So he's a good player, isn't he?
Well, he's a bit special. There's a few in that team that are a bit special. We kind of do this every week. But it's interesting, Nigel. I have my series of questions I want to ask you. I think the first one's already been answered. I said on this show, one of us was going to talk more, and I think that first 5 minutes is evident that it will actually be Nigel. So this show's going to be just fine. What was interesting, though, Nigel, just quickly there, you say that you, because I know you go to all the games, you're a season ticket holder, you record them and then you go back and watch them even though you was at the game.
Yeah, well,
that's
I do.
It's astonishing.
Well, I do, because something like that, I wouldn't have picked at the ground, I wouldn't pick that up. I wouldn't see that. But it was just something I picked up, and they show it every different angle, of course. He didn't look up. He just turned and turned two or three times and hit it, and there it was. Really pleased for Gabriel Jesus as well. Gets a bit of stick from some people. When you look at his stats...
It's incredible.
They are unbelievable. In terms of assists and goals, he's absolutely up there. And people are always comparing with Aguero, and Aguero goes in, what, a year's time? Will he extend? Do we need to get a replacement? But yes, different player. No one's going to ever replace Sergio Aguero. But his stats are fantastic. And he scored another two. He was in the right place. Good header for the first one, and then followed up with the second. So, you know, he's a great player. I like Jesus. I think he's all right. He's okay.
Yeah, he's okay. He's okay.
He'll do.
Players. Yeah,
he's a young lad as well. Yeah. He's like 12. You know, he'll
yeah. He's
he'll
just okay. He hasn't took his GCSEs yet, but he can start and score in a City shirt. I think he'll do just fine. It was a hard away trip for Fulham. I mean, much harder when they get a man sent off very early doors. Nigel, you are a current referee. This is going to sound absolutely bonkers. I saw the foul. I understand the red card. But because, you know, it's not... I don't want to say maybe this is the wrong choice of word, but a violent foul or whatever. I don't know if I sort of like... because maybe it's because I knew it killed the contest straight away. I'm like, yeah, penalty, but I don't know if it's a red. Do you understand what I mean?
No,
in a weird
I do.
Sense?
And it's a really interesting one. I'm glad you've raised it because it's something that I wanted to discuss myself. Because, of course, in the... When the law first came in, it was a red in any situation. If you deny an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, it's a penalty and it's a red card. And then they had this debate, what they call double jeopardy.
Yep.
Yeah. And people saying, is it really fair? You give them the penalty, they're probably going to score from it and they're going to go down to 10 men. So why punish them twice for that offence? And at that point, they adjusted it slightly. So the law has been changed. I'm sorry if you know all of this stuff.
No, it's great to learn from, genuinely.
And what they then said was, if a player is going for the ball and making a genuine attempt, that happens quite often, a foul is given, and they clip the player, they mistimed it slightly late. If you're going for the ball in that situation, they give the penalty, but they don't send the player off. It's not double jeopardy. So what happened, of course, in this situation was they had made no attempt to play the ball. And this is what it's been brought in to stop. You don't really want a player throw on goal and someone is grabbed around the neck and sort of grappled to the ground, which is the reason it's been brought in. So in that case, it's a penalty and it's a sending off. And of course, there's all sorts of confusion. People saying, hold on a minute, I thought the laws changed and people don't keep up. And it's difficult. The laws are changing all the time. So that's the reason for it. And I suppose... in my view, I think that's probably right, actually, because you want to avoid... It's got to be a deterrent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to... Yeah, of course, referees don't enjoy sending players off. You know, they want to have a good contest. They want 11 versus 11. But the law is the law, and I think in that situation, Mr. Friend did spot on, did the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if it's a sending off, it's sending off. And I wasn't making the argument, which I always think is the worst argument in sports, where they go, oh, it's early, you can't do it, it's too early.
Or
they wouldn't do that if that was in the middle of the park. No, if it's a foul, it's a foul. If it's the first minute, it's the 90th minute. It just... I think maybe I was coming from a place, they've got the penalty, City are going to absolutely run right now. And I watched it, I really get up. Obviously, I know we're doing the show on Monday, I'm watching the game. We've got Fulham fans who work in the office, and I just thought straight away, well, this is it now. And Guardiola almost alluded to a stuck in the post-match when he said, you know, we knew Fulham, we appreciated that they were actually trying to play football, but he said they were finding that difficult with 11. He said they go down to 10 and it's almost just a pointless and impossible task.
And I think the other thing that happens then, Charlie, of course, in a game like that is players get tired. You know, it's actually very tiring not having the ball, you know, working hard, particularly a team like playing against City who do keep possession. And that is hard work when you haven't got the ball. And of course, I think you've got to give them credit for holding on to 2-0 for as long as they did, and clearly legs tired towards the end, and eventually that City sort of that tiredness, I think, took its toll, and that's when the second two goals came quite late in the game. So I think credit to Fulham for that, for battling as they did for so long with the 10 men.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been a lot of plaudits on Liverpool this season, and a fair few by yourself, Nigel, rightly so. But one of the plaudits that has to go to City, they are the first team this season, European team, to score 100 goals this season. Yet again, I mean, that is just... unbelievable. I think that's seven seasons in a row now that City have done that.
It is, and it's 37 games and 102 goals. Oh God,
we're doing a stat off here. Nigel's picked up a bit
of paper.
Well,
you started it.
It's 1-1.
So, yeah. and you look at sort of PSG have only scored 91. They're the next team. Okay, they've only played 33 games. But scoring goals hasn't been a problem for City on the whole. But a lot, you know, the other thing I just want to say, going back to goals if I can, sorry, just in terms of the FA Cup, can I give you another stat, which is FA Cup related,
is it something about scoring four goals in a game six times in a row?
It is, yeah.
Nigel, listen, don't take this Man City show very seriously.
I'll ask you a question. How's this then? So they broke the record. It goes back to 1928. Because that's the last. Which team did this? I mean, you get an extra point for this. Which team was it in 1928 that whose record City have just beaten? You won't get it.
Luton.
I hate you. I've always hated you. I've never liked you. Can we not go to an ad break now? Because it's just, you're the worst.
Listen, for anyone who's listening, this is how much research I take on this show very seriously. I don't just rock up and watch 90 minutes of City destroying the Fulham on a weekend that's happily provided on television for me. I'm going behind the scenes. Yeah. I'm speaking to all the guests you get on. We're texting now. We're buddies.
Yeah, okay. The tail is firmly between the legs and I'm out of here. I'll leave it. You can do it on your own now, Charlie. I think you don't need me.
I said
me anyway.
One of us had to speak a little bit more.
Over to you, mate.
Yeah, we're sharing duties, but I'll happily take that stat off. It's interesting. I want to talk a little bit now, just quickly if we can, about Laporte, because last week a heavy theme of the show was Mendy, and we were sort of questioning, you know, the muscle fatigue, and he's only just come back and he's played three games. Now we're seeing not the same reason. I was going to say excuse and non-excuse this time for Laporte, but he has been involved a little bit more, worrying about muscle fatigue. But this time, Nigel, you're frowning there, but this is genuine.
Of course it is. Listen, the guy's been out for nearly 5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not someone who's played three games and has got a bit of muscle. He's been out for five, a serious injury, and this is his first game. And he played 78 minutes, if you want the stats, in his first
game
back.
All right, top trumps.
70, which is a lot more than I thought he was going to play, to be honest. And of course, he looked tired, he was limping. Whether that was cramp or whether it was actually the knee, I'm not sure. Mm. Pepper's come out today and said that he's a doubt for the game on Wednesday in the Carabao Cup. I thought he was absolutely superb against Sheffield United. He really made it. He was immense. Mm. Kept a clean sheet, looked solid, looked he hasn't been away. And there was one particular incident where he got it with a bit of a wrangle with I can't remember who it was from Sheffield Wednesday, and he made sure he knew he was there. He didn't
absolutely
hold, you know he's back and he's dominant and he's strong, and he was going to make his presence felt. So great to have him back. Makes a huge difference, and I just hope it was just fatigue at the end, and he's allowed to after 5 months off.
100% a serious injury as well. Just quickly, because obviously last time I spoke to you, the Sheffield United game hadn't took place yet. I'm sure you've covered it at length. We have here at the station. But I felt like watching that Sheffield United, and I don't want to do them a disservice, because I think we both did, even you before the game when previewing it, everyone has just been blown away by Chris Wilder and his side. Nothing but respect, nothing but plaudits for what they've done this season. But I felt like there was a little bit of added spice in this game with the players, just a little bit of aggressiveness, flying into a couple of challenges. I think Fernandinho got challenged, and you know, it was a yellow, could have arguably been a red, what with VAR at the minute, and they just felt like they had a certain way they was going about this game, especially in the first half.
You're talking about City or you're talking about Sheffield
United? I'm talking about Sheffield United. Absolutely. Against City.
Correct. And listen, they are a very, very strong side. We talked about Chris Wilder before, but defensively they have let in less goals at home than Manchester City have. Mm. They're no mugs at home.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about their away form and how well they're doing. They have let in less goals than Manchester City, and they're a tough outfit. It wasn't easy, and it took a bit of genius and brilliance from two blokes, one called Kevin De Bruyne and one called Sergio Aguero, who are a joy to behold, as we say every week. Mm. And it was that combination that broke them down, and it was very special. And you've got to give credit to Sheffield United, and I always will, as you know. I think he's brought a breath of fresh air. I love the way they play the game. They're tough, they're competitive. It's not an easy ground to go to. You know, really, really, the crowd are up for it. You know, it's not easy. And it took you know, one moment and Sergio coming off the bench to get us the win. It was tough. It was not an easy game.
Absolutely. You mentioned a moment of brilliance from De Bruyne and Aguero. Two players that don't really have that in the locker. Nice of them to combine to finally muster something up to help City get that result. What a result it was. Many teams struggling against Sheffield United. But City are in the next round of the FA Cup. Their opponents were just revealed just over a little over 90 minutes ago. We're going to be talking all about that and talking about their cup run this season.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a Man City Show podcast, Mr. Nigel Rothband. So much to talk about. City's blistering home win against Fulham in the Cup. And we know how much success City having in all domestic cup competitions. Potentially, next time we talk, they could be in a League Cup final. We're 2 goals to the good ahead of that second leg, which we will talk about against Manchester United a little bit later on in the show. And that massive game with Spurs. And delighted to say, David Walker from Red But Never Red will be joining us in around 10 minutes time, so make sure you stay around for that. But there's always time to put a question to me or Nigel. Easy, simple. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Let's talk a little bit about those cup competitions, because City at the minute, only one word for it: dominant. We know what they've done last season. They were going very strong in the FA Cup, even stronger in the League Cup. They're 90 minutes away from another League Cup final, another showdown at Wembley. And there's been so much talk, Nigel, obviously, around other teams and maybe devaluing the cup and let's scrap replays, and Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool saying that they're going to put out the kids and they're going on a winter break. And a lot of people actually really sort of saying that's disrespectful to the club. You know, it's your own fault. You didn't beat a League One side. Now, you know, deal with the replay, whether you're on a winter break or not. For the whole City perspective and a devaluing of the cup, and let's get your view on it, but I also know how strongly Guardiola feels about the cups as well and has always taken them very seriously. There's always been a huge sense of professionalism with the team he puts out, and obviously the respect to whoever they face in opposition.
I mean, there are so many different aspects at play here, aren't there, Charlie? This is the problem with this. And let's start with Pep, because as a City fan, and I suppose, let's be honest, as an older City fan, a bit more old-fashioned, you know, I go back many, many years and the early cup finals that I've been to, that there's something magical and special about the FA Cup to me. I'm just not sure if that's the same for a younger audience. Mm. So I think there will be different schools of thought. But for me, there is still the magic of the FA Cup. And Pep, for whatever reason, has always respected the FA Cup, as you've said. He's always put out strong sides. Yes, he's got a deep squad. He can afford to change his squad around and still have a strong squad. There are other managers, I won't mention any names, but Bournemouth might be one, who have never really respected the FA Cup. It's always been about Premier League survival, and that comes first. And it's really interesting because there is so much at play here. You've got the Champions League, you've got Europe, and then for other teams it's about either survival in their division or promotion from their division, and they seem to be trumping the FA Cup. So that's kind of one side of it. I suppose the issue is there are not many teams who are actually going to be fighting for Europe, so I'm not sure why it's such a deal. You know, do you not think that it's been devalued? And I suppose as a younger supporter, I'm interested in your view. Do you feel the FA Cup has magic? Is that how you describe it? Or is it for you all about Europe and all about that's really the comment, and the Premier League, they're the big things to win, and actually it's a very poor second or third. Is that how you see it?
I agree with you. I absolutely love the FA Cup. The FA Cup is one of my, if not my favourite cup competition to win. I grew up watching the FA Cup and, you know, waiting for the cup upsets and the giant killings, the underdogs, and it wouldn't just be waiting for that ball to reveal who my team got, but who of the likes of, you know, when it was Division 2, Division 3, oh, they're going to City, they're going to Anfield, they're going to, this is unbelievable. And, you know, those games would get picked on for telly. Players that I didn't know about, kits that I'd never seen, stadiums that I'd never done. And let's face it, these games that these clubs rely on to survive, to get by, because they don't have the money. And to me, it still is. Has the magic been lost? That is the right word. For me, it has. It has been devalued. And I don't know where it's been devalued, because the players and the managers that we're speaking about, and obviously in this instance Pep, they don't devalue it. It's very hard, because you mentioned Bournemouth, And another instance is Burnley. Now, Burnley really heavily rotated the team on the weekend. They lost to Norwich. And Sean Dyche said, yeah, disappointed, but not gutted because there's only one priority, and that's Premier League survival. Now, Sean Dyche's job, ultimately, won't be on the line of how well they do in the FA Cup. He's got to look after his pay packet, his family, and they're judged on staying in the Premier League. Now, so I can't argue that he doesn't love the FA Cup or it's devalued. It's very hard when, in a sense, all Burnley aim for is that, and I suppose maybe from an easy sense, the teams that we support and the Man City perspective, we're trying to win competitions, so there won't ever be that devaluation from us because we want this feather in our cap. We're defending champions. Let's defend it. It's a prestigious tournament. We want it on our roll of honour. It's hard from other clubs maybe to go, I can see both sides is what I'm trying to say.
Of course, and so can I. And I'm trying to think what's the answer, because we both think there's magic there and it's so special. And I love the way you describe, even talking about kits, because, I'm like that as well. It's different teams and different grounds. I love all of that. I think you're absolutely right. So what's the answer here? So a number of different options then. Maybe we'll come back to replays in a minute because I've got a view on that as well. But in terms of options of how we keep that magic, listen, it's about money, isn't it? So do we somehow, do the authorities in some way, make the financial prize greater in the FA Cup that actually makes it more of a priority for the businesses, for the football clubs themselves? They siphon some money off from the Premier League and actually say, fine, we're going to put another £5 million, whatever, £10 million, whatever it might be, into the FA Cup. And suddenly people might well sit up and say, actually, this is quite an important competition now for us business-wise, and we're going to actually have to take it more seriously. Because the fans still think it's great. I don't think fans think, well, we don't want to win the... How many fans are going to say, we don't want to win the FA Cup?
Yeah, and this is the problem. So I don't know where the devaluations comes from, because for me, it's not the fans. It's very difficult because I suppose maybe, this sounds a bit ridiculous, but 20 years ago, 30 years ago, squads weren't that big. We didn't have this depth. And now it's very easy for a team to play. You know, let's face it, let's be honest, this is the City fan show. City's second team is maybe a lot stronger than a lot of other first teams. So you can't argue when they play their so-called second team, full of internationals, full of teams that represent at World Cups, European Championship, because they need the game time. We go, isn't it great we've just seen Foden? Isn't it great we've just seen Garcia? Well, these are the games that we want to play. This is not a disrespect to the FA Cup, but they have to rotate injury suspension. It's very, very hard. And I think you want to now bring in the subject of replays. I think this is absolutely preposterous that they want to scrap replays. These replays are the livelihood for these clubs surviving. When you support these clubs, it's all about going to these clubs. Another stat for you in the middle of a stat off, Shrewsbury have never played at Anfield. In their history, they've never been to Anfield. Guess what? They go there in 2 weeks. In a replay, Jurgen Klopp's going to play the kids. This is not what the fans want to see. Whatever you think of Liverpool, this is the City show, I get, and perspective. They are world champions. They are European champions. They're currently leading the league. What a chance for them. No disrespect to the kids. And actually, it's a great opportunity maybe for them to get to the next round. But really, that's not what the fans want. They've already got the money from the gate. They've got the money from the pot. They want to go up against Salah, Fabinho, Alisson in goal. They want the big dons.
And I know the game's changing, but I'm going back again here. But I remember the old pitches where there wasn't any grass on them; it was only mud and squads that weren't 30, 40 deep.
What is it all about, though, Nigel?
There were 12, 13 players who played every single week.
Absolutely,
and they managed to do it. And listen, I know that I'm sounding like an old granddad now.
But I don't want you to say, because this actually disappoints me, and I'm actually interrupting you. Sure, Nigel. When people go, I'm from an age where I loved it, but. Well, I'm not necessarily from that age, and I absolutely love it. I remember watching the film Damn United and Leeds getting stuck in the mud, and I love just as much as the game. When they're doing the pre-match reports, this is the dressing room we're in, the players, and you think, oh, look at that. That's a shed. They're in there, like one shower. They've got to share it. It's a cold shower, and you know what I mean? You've got the camera pans to the estate above it, and you've got everyone on the estate watching Dan and people on a hill, and I think this is football, because for a little bit, let's face it, football has lost that. You know, there's such a gulf now and a chasm between the higher teams who are rich and the ones that are poor, and I think this is what football for me is truly all about, the passion of these clubs.
Absolutely. Another solution for you. So if you don't like the extra money going in, I don't know, what about having a situation where the FA Cup winners play fourth in the Premier League for a place in the Champions League?
A European spot
somewhere. Mm. Just to give it something that brings that magic back or gives people another incentive to say this is an important competition. Some people are saying get rid of the Carabao Cup completely.
I was just about to say, what about scrapping it? Because now, even the lower divisions, they have the EFL trophy, you know, the something.com/com/EuropeEUtrophy.net. Are all these games needed? And this is a problem. You know, Jose and Ralph are going, scrap the replay. It's all well and good when it's Saints and Southampton. It's not great when it's Shrewsbury and, you know, they've got this lifeline, they're going to Anfield. This completely turns their season.
Absolutely. I suppose if they did stop the Carabao Cup and finished it now, it would mean that Manchester City are the only people ever to do the only English team to do the domestic treble, you see? Yeah, so that's one good reason for stopping it, maybe. So we can take that record into the future.
Yeah, it is very hard. I don't know if ever, but you'd be very hard pressed to ever see a League One and Championship side win. The FA Cup. You know, we had Portsmouth win it in 2008 and other teams get that far. I don't know if we'll see that again now. The way it is.
Why not?
But I just think upsets are few and far between now. Do you know, because you said, it surprised me, maybe I've slightly gone off the beaten track here, but you said at the start, it could have been a bit of a banana skin for Fulham. No disrespect, there was no chance of it, Nigel, even way before the game. Fulham weren't going there and getting a result. It was just never going to happen in a million years.
But what about Shrewsbury? Okay, they came back from two. They could easily have won that game, Charlie.
But it wasn't Liverpool's first team, and it was at Shrewsbury. Fulham were never going to go to Man City and get a result there. No chance.
Well, I don't agree with you, because I think things can happen, and I think that is the beauty of it. When you said when those, you know, a Premier League team is drawn against a League Two side, that's the excitement, and that's what we look forward to. You don't get in any other competition.
Well,
don't lose it. Come on, keep the magic going.
Keep the magic going. Strong debates here, as we do so often on Love Sport Radio, and you can always be part of the debate. City show, but we really took a turn there. FA Cup, City doing so well, holding on to that in a minute. But a man who joins the debate, maybe he can be the umpire and ref, is David Walker from Red But Never Red.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Manchester City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a Man City Show podcast, Mr. Nigel Rothband. What a debate we were just having there. Kind of took a little turn. We kept it City, but talking about the FA Cup and the importance of that cup, has the magic gone? What are you saying? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Call us 028 7020 558. Well, you may have been disappointed at the start because Nigel said it was only him and it was only me and we're sort of having a debate. We didn't have that third voice in the room. But now, though, we get to speak to a man who is not only a favourite on the Manchester City Fan Show, but he's a favourite on this station, Love Sport Radio, because when he's on, what a pleasure it is. Always someone I enjoy talking to. It is David Walker from Red But Never Red. David, always brilliant to get you on. So much I want to ask you, but I know you want to talk about a little bit about Pep's, well, corners, set pieces, defending, because you've done an interesting piece on this, haven't you?
I wrote it actually a couple of years ago with a friend of mine, Andy Bird, chap who lives in Dubai, and he consulted with me and said, this thing about corners, it was about defending corners, but hopefully tonight we can talk about City's defending corners, or lack of, and attacking corners, or lack of, because corners, for all of Pep's genius, and he is a genius, he's the best manager in the world, and I love the guy to bits, I can't understand his philosophy at corner kicks.
So you got some stats then, have you, David, for us? Is there actually some specific stats you've got?
Oh, I heard you two going on about your stats this evening. I've got a stat from Pep's first season, but I can't match it totally with this season. But in his first season, Man City had 259 corners, from which we scored 4 goals, a conversion rate of 1.5%, which was actually worse than West Bromwich Albion's, who were relegated that year. And had we had the same conversion rate of West Bromwich Albion, we would have scored an extra 22 goals. So that's not a bad stat start, is it?
So stats aside, what's your, having written that, and obviously again you watch City home and away, what's your view then, David? Is it that Pep genuinely is just not sort of spending the time on the coaching side of things, working with the team. It's not important. We'll score just because we were talking about KDB and Aguero earlier on and the magic that they produce on the pitch. Let's score goals and let's not, we'll just let the lads take a corner and see how it goes. What's your view? What's happening here?
Okay. This is going to be pedantic because, as you know, you watch the games like I do. We've been the Centurions. We've been the Formidables. We've scored the highest amount of goals. You've already covered that in the show. But most teams, when their team gets a corner, there's a degree of optimism. You can hear the murmuring in the crowd. Here's a chance to score. You go to the games. Do you honestly feel when we get a corner, do you get excited about the prospect of scoring from a corner? Because it would appear we hardly ever do. We've had 202 corners so far in the Premier League. Unfortunately, I haven't got the conversion rate. And I know we'd have been hampered because Laporte's not been there and he's a real threat at corner kicks. Obviously, Company's long gone. He was a threat at corner kicks. But what exasperates me is when we have a corner, specific example, we play Crystal Palace, we drew 2-2. Kevin De Bruyne, you know, we both agree, one of the best players in the world, not the Premier League, but in the world. He'd probably get in any World 11. Mm. He took, if memory serves me, 6 corner kicks against Crystal Palace. They were all virtually a carbon copy of one another. He put his arm up before he hit the ball. He floated the ball in quite innocuously. He's quite insipid. And the opponents either hoofed it away or headed it away to no end. And it's a genuine question because obviously I'm not there when Pep's doing all the drills and everything. But do we actually do anything on the training pitch to try and take advantage of corners? We score goals at plenty. You've already said that. Apparently we're having, I think it's an average of 11 corners each home game and 10 each away game. But we just don't seem to be a threat from them.
To answer your earlier question, you're right. I mean, I think when we have scored from a corner, certainly I don't get that excited when we get one for the reasons you've already given. And when we do score, there tends to be lots of conversations around us, which is, when was the last time we scored from a corner then? So it's definitely a thing at City. For that, there's absolutely no doubt. What about defending then corners, Dave? Do you have a similar view? Do you think he's tactically inept in that area as well, or is it just?
Oh my goodness! You expect me to be live on radio and call Pep Guardiola tactically?
I led you into that one quite well, but you've defended yourself brilliantly.
No, we're not doing that.
So, what's your view defensively then?
Right, what I would say, and this is the topic that I discussed with my friend Andy Bird back in Dubai back in 2017, and it's something that perplexes him, it perplexes me, and probably a number of other people, maybe yourself. Good Lord, we might even agree on something tonight, Nigel. Why? Why do we bring all of our outfield players back to defend at corners? Now, it doesn't work on so many levels. There's an added safety in numbers. Well, that doesn't necessarily work when you're defending and you've possibly got the smallest team in the league. City's 18-yard box is immediately cluttered up with, I don't know, or, you know, on the edge of the 18-yard box, as many as 20 players. It means Edison has lots of bodies around him acting as an impediment when he's trying to come out, you know, catch the cross or save a shot or a header. More players in the box, what, more chances of a deflection or a ricochet, which means Edison is, you know, can be unsighted. Small players in stature, not in heart or skill, Bernardo, Silva, Sterling, etc. Is it fair to say they're unlikely to win many heading duels? Now, Pep's philosophy has to be best form of defence is attack. If we were to leave 2, possibly 3 players upfield for a quick out ball, you know, Sterling, Sane when he's fit, Jesus, Aguero, whatever. That sounded like that's the Irish version, wasn't it? It should be Jesus, not Jesus. Moving on. If we have 2 or 3 players upfield, 2 wide, Sterling and Sane on each flank, for instance, the defending team surely have to have at least 4 players back unless they're prepared to really risk it and go man-to-man with City speedsters and with Edison's delivery. It's not just a hopeful punt up the field. It's a sort of pinpoint accurate pass. Because when we defend at corners, we don't have an out ball, which immediately means that the opposition can chance their arm and bring more defenders up, you know, more competent headers of the ball. And I just don't understand it. City's zonal defence doesn't seem to be working this season. There's all a dead ball situation always strikes a chord of fear into the City support in the way that a corner kick, we're all very blasé about it when it goes our way because we don't think much is going to happen from it. But I just don't understand why we pull everybody back, especially when they're small. They're not going to win heading duels. We don't have an out ball. It doesn't put the opponents... It doesn't weave doubt in the opponent's mind when they're on the attack. Blimey, City could break. They've got two or three players upfield. We've got to be more cautious in our approach when attacking City's goal, which immediately lessens the threat to City's goal and heightens the threat on the opponent's goal.
Just quickly, David, it's interesting. Obviously, we're all huge fans of Guardiola. I mean, arguably the greatest manager that's currently managing. No question of him being tactically clueless. But there is an interesting one. You mentioned, you know, the best form of defence is attack. And he's quite stubborn in certain areas. You know, famously doesn't practice tackling in training. And why would he? City obviously dominate in terms of possession. But is this another one of maybe where he's stubborn? You know, doesn't practice corners because, you know, this is not how City really score goals. You've got stats to back that up and prove it, evidence there, and obviously defending them as well. Is this just another part of the Pep goes, we don't need to work on this, you know, it's a small part of the game, and obviously, as is proved, they're fine without it. But it can be, and sometimes it is, a small weakness.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we keep hearing the term fine margins, small margins. City outscore most teams. It's demonstrative this year, and it has been in the previous two seasons. But you can always make a good thing better. And I mean, again, you know, let's not get stupid. I'm not telling Pep Guardiola what to do, but, you know, I'm useless tactically compared to Pep Guardiola. But as a fan, I see it week in, week out. And it just bemuses me as to why, if we're not making that extra effort, that small margin, that small percentage, if we were to convert, I don't know, 10%, 20% of our chances from corners, the goals that we would score would obviously go up exponentially, but equally, it nullifies the threat when the opposition are on the attack because City, are, at the moment, our defence will always give a goal or two away. And if we can score that one or two at the other end, then it nullifies the threat that we're a bit leaky at the back. Notwithstanding the fact that Aymeric Laporte is back, whether he's playing at the Etihad on Wednesday night, we do not yet know, but he will make a tremendous difference in that defence. So things are looking up, and going back to what you guys were saying earlier in the programme, yeah, let's have the FA Cup, the Caribou Cup, and let's even have a pop at the Champions League. We want silverware, we want the FA Cup, we want the League Cup. We still treasure those traditional trophies at City.
Yeah, absolutely. City peaking at the right time, the business end of the season. David, really good and a pleasure that you joined us. Always a pleasure to have you on. David Walcott, red but never red there. Just quickly, I alluded to, obviously, City did find out their opponents. Actually never said it, but it is Sheffield Wednesday. It is away. Mixed form, obviously, under Gary Monk this year in the Championship, but a tough test, certainly, that it is away. What are you making of it, Nigel?
Yeah, well, you say that they've not had a great, they've had a mixed season. They're only just sitting outside the playoff places in the Championship, so that they could easily get themselves a playoff place and push for the Premier League. So they're no mugs, and again, difficult place to go. Fantastic fan base, passionate fan base. They've got the home advantage. It's a bit like the conversation we had about City and Fulham. This one maybe is a banana skin. Maybe you'd accept that. As it, you know, if it was at the Etihad, you'd like to think City are firm favourites. But it evens things up, and we've got games coming thick and fast. Pep will have to rotate, even though he takes the competition seriously, and anything could happen there, really.
Yeah, obviously, City finding out their opponents for the fifth round of the FA Cup. They will be playing Sheffield Wednesday away. A great chance, though. They'll be looking to defend that trophy. The games are coming thick and fast. Nigel is right. Is the League Cup second leg in the semi-final against Man United. But before that, delighted to say we'll be looking at Spurs, and Jamie Brown from Daily Hotspur is with us.
Love Sport.
It is time for the opposition view on the Manchester City fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined in the studio with a Man City show podcast, Mr. Nigel Rothband. Well, it was a bit of a stat off earlier in the show. Nigel's trying to wire me up in the break, but I won't allow it. I just will not allow it. I've got the better of him all night, and I'm not going to fold as we get to the end of the show. But talking of folding, it's City against Spurs on the weekend in what is a massive game. These two teams, well, they have a little bit of history of late. Obviously, earlier on in the season, Pochettino was still in charge. 2-2. I'm reminding of last year's European heartbreak for City and Spurs reaching that European Cup final. These two teams, well, when they clash, it is big and it is a heavyweight. And I'm delighted to say now, in that case, we are joined by another heavyweight. This time, Jamie Brand from Daily Hotspur and our very own Spurs fan show every Thursday, 7 to half 8 on Love Sport Radio. Jamie, always good to get you on, get the opposition view. Spurs haven't been at their best of late. It's not been a season to remember. I know you talk of Tottenham 2.0, but it was 2-2 earlier on in the season. What are you making of the contest on the weekend?
Yeah, look, I think obviously over the Christmas period, it has been really difficult for Spurs. You know, it was kind of when Mourinho arrived, we kind of closed that gap on the top four. But really, as I said, over the Christmas period, we kind of imploded a bit. Now, kind of the last two performances have encouraged me a bit. I think we played well against Norwich, and it was even though we did draw with Southampton, there was a lot better football. And certainly players like Giovanni Lo Celso gave us a lot of hope. So I think that, you know, Spurs do really seem to be missing an out-and-out number nine at the moment. But yeah, I'm not particularly optimistic going into this one, I have to be honest.
Before we get on to the game itself, Jamie, as an outsider looking in, I mean, the last time we played you, there was a team who was playing fantastic football, had a manager that people seemed to love, were finalists in the Champions League. And now, when you look at it, you've gone back, in my view, to someone who's maybe passed his sell-by date as a manager, and you've now even below the team from just outside Manchester in the league, and you may not even get into the Champions League. So what I'm interested to know from a kind of a Spurs fan's point of view, what's gone wrong? What are the major issues?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is that we kind of stood still for too long with this squad. I think that too many of them have been there for too long. You know, you look at the likes of Danny Rose, Toby Alderweireld, Yama Tongan, obviously Christian Eriksen, who's on his way out. So there's lots of them that just have been there for too long. And I feel as though Spurs needed to refresh the team. You know, you look at all the good sides. I mean, especially yourself, you're always looking to improve. And unfortunately, Spurs didn't do that. Now you could talk about what, you know, were their limitations with the new stadium and so on. But it's really frustrating because, you know, you especially look at what Liverpool have done, and in terms of they went out and improved and found the areas. Spurs, unfortunately, just didn't do that. And, you know, we are paying the consequences, and we're trying to play catch-up now in kind of bringing in new players. And, yeah, I mean, even when we did play at the start of the season, that was really the only positive game in kind of that towards the start of the season. But, yeah, it's unfortunately this year it's been a bit of a disaster. And, as you said, look, Champions League and Champions League football is definitely in doubt for next season.
Yeah, Jamie, you know, from speaking at length with you, I know how important that squad rebuild was. But Spurs side this season, obviously, and under Jose, still looking for that statement win, if it's fair to say, Jamie. Lost to United, lost to Liverpool, lost to Chelsea. This is a big chance to get that first huge win under Mourinho's reign on the weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people said when, you know, we were kind of linked with a new manager and Mourinho. A lot of people were saying that Mourinho would have won those sort of games. Well, look, he's come in and, you know, he's already played teams like Chelsea and Liverpool, and he hasn't been able to win those sort of big games. I think, you know, he obviously been, you know, in the past, he's been really good at being able to stop these, you know, sort of top sides by setting up defensively. Unfortunately, I just don't think he really has the options in defence to be able to do that. I mean, I look at our back line and there is a real shortage of quality. You look at the full-backs, Serge Aurier, and then whoever it would be on the left side, maybe Danny Rose and Ryan Sessegnon, who, of course, is more of a winger, in my opinion. So, unfortunately, there is a real lack of quality in defence. And, you know, we've seen a lot of the way Mourinho likes to set his sides up against the big sides. He just doesn't really have the players to do that. So, again, you know, I have to be honest, I'm not too optimistic, but I totally agree. It is a big opportunity for Mourinho, and he has to go and win one of these big games.
It's interesting because I visited your stadium already. I was there for that Champions League tie, and I'm there again on Sunday, so I'll give you a wave. I'll be wearing blue and white. It's clearly a big challenge, and it's interesting with the challenges that you've got at the back, and of course with Kane's injury and Eriksen gone as well, if you like, as well. It does leave a number of holes in key positions, doesn't it, for you?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at the midfield and we've not really been able to get a settled partnership in the middle. That's been a big issue for us, kind of always getting overrun in midfield. Yes, we brought in Ndombele, and obviously he's struggled to hit the ground running. And then really at the moment, it's Winks and Lascelles at the moment. And there's not really any holding midfielder in there. And obviously Dyer's not really been good enough. So midfield's really been a big issue for us. You look at the fullbacks, of course, once upon a time we had Danny Rose and Kyle Walker, and now it's Ryan Sessegnon and Serge Aurier. It's just, worlds apart from what we once used to be. And then, of course, as we all know, with Harry Kane up front, we've not got a striker. And for a club like Spurs, who were Champions League finalists last year, trying to get into the top four, to not have that kind of backup replacement to come in, is really disappointing. You just hope that in these final few days, Spurs can try and get something done before the weekend's game.
Yeah, well, Jamie, I know you said you wasn't the most confident, but what is your score prediction?
Blimey. I cannot see us getting a win. At best, I think a draw. So I'm going to try and be optimistic and go for 1-1.
1-1. Maybe, who knows, another 2-2 like earlier on in the season. Jamie, always good to chat to you. Enjoy our chats. Jamie Brown there from Daily Hotspur. Catch Jamie on the Spurs fan show every Thursday, 7 to half 8. He's going for a draw. Sitting on the fence, Nigel, I know you'll want to get revenge. You was there last year. Nice to sort of end that chapter and sort of put that to bed. What is your prediction?
I'm going 2-1 City. I think we'll concede. I always say that. But I think we'll have enough with their deficiency. And City's on a bit of a roll at the moment with KDB and Aguero back up top. I think I'm going 2-1 City.
2-1 City. Well, quickly, because I want to talk a little bit about the League Cup semi-final as well. Interesting that, look, we've spoke about this before and a number of games and funny times of games. Lots of people making or having their say on the Etihad, not being at its full, not being sold out. And a little bit in the social media this week that Guardiola, after the game with Fulham, said, look, please make this game a sellout. Really come. And a lot of people actually defending Guardiola, saying that the club have made him say that. It was unlike a Guardiola thing. Let's sell it out. When that's not really Guardiola. Is this just people putting two and two together, making 57 Nigel and this whole thing at the minute?
I don't know why it's a thing. Again, going back, talking about being an old fan, it was never a thing before. It's suddenly become a thing. And it's just, it's press talk, to be honest. And I don't think it's something that Pep would have brought up himself. He was questioned about it by a reporter who asked him, listen, City are in four competitions. Games come thick and fast, as we've said many, many times, and it's expensive. You go with the kids, and a lot of football fans can't afford to go to every game. And there's nothing wrong with that. You pick and choose which ones you go to. And people have a right to do that. The fact that I don't know how many there were there at the weekend, 30-odd thousand were there at the weekend. So it's not 39,223 were there. It wasn't full. But, we play again on Wednesday night, and we're playing midweek and at the weekend. And it's not just the price of the ticket. It's the programme and the kids want some sweets and it's all of that stuff. So it I just get wound up about it and it's just not important in my view.
Absolutely. We're hoping it will be sold out, whether or not it is. Well, City are 3-1 to the good. It's a Manchester derby. We're saying it, 1 foot in the final. Very quickly, Nigel, how do you think it will play out? City, hopefully this time next week, we'll be talking of that League Cup final appearance.
I feel confident. I think they're in disarray. I think the 6-0 win they got the weekend can be, it was against a much lesser side. I think it's going to be 4-0 City.
4-0 City.
Yeah.
That would mean 7-1 on aggregate. Unbelievable stuff. Nigel, what a show we've had, from debating the FA Cup magic, talking about City's dominance in that cup, looking towards their clash with Sheffield Wednesday, the two big games, United this week, and then obviously Spurs on the weekend, where City will always want to put one on their rivals, but a chance for them to put away the bad memories in North London at Spurs and just continue that good form, because they are peaking just in time for the return of the Champions League. We'll be across it all, as we always are, every Monday on the City Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined by Nigel Rothband, 9 to 10 on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.